And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Somebody was talking about how much Kamala Harris, when she was in Seattle, how much she loves electric buses. I mean, she's just giddy about electric buses.
What are some parts of the Inflation Reduction Act, this amazing new law that you are most excited about?
One of the things that I'm very excited about is what we have been doing in terms of electric vehicles. And I have a particular fondness, I must tell you, for electric school buses. I love electric school buses.
Oh, she could barely get it out. She was laughing so hard. Now, was she laughing because it's ha-ha funny or ha-ha odd? Because I love electric vehicles. I told her she should add a snort to all of those. I came up with that a couple weeks ago. That's my advice to her. If you want to try to turn around the Democrats' chances, every time you laugh, just add a little snort at the end.
And I have a particular fondness, I must tell you, for electric school buses. I love electric school buses.
That would be a hit. But remember a couple weeks ago, she was talking about another thing that she just loves.
I've actually asked my team to do a Venn diagram. I love Venn diagrams. I just love Venn diagrams. You know, the three circles, right? Sometimes there are more.
So what if, to see what they all have in common, what if we did a Venn diagram for Kamala Harris, and one of the circles would be a Venn diagram. One of the circles would be the qualities of a Venn diagram. And then another circle would be the qualities of electric school buses. And then we'd have a third circle for the Venn diagram. And it would be, what do liberal senators all have in common with Venn diagrams and electric school buses?
You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Somebody said that, and it actually was Mike Pence on the debate stage. But
yeah, well, actually, the nonpartisan
if we could get a Venn diagram to find out the commonalities between Venn diagrams, electric school buses, and liberal senators. Can you imagine how happy she would be? Kamala Harris would be like Meg Ryan in that restaurant scene and When Harry Met Sally, if anybody ever made one of those Venn diagrams. So anyway, just a suggestion. If you're a fan of the vice president, if you're trying to turn around the Democrat Party's chances, do that. Make a Venn diagram of Venn diagrams, electric school buses, liberal senators, and then make it go viral. And all of a sudden, boom, Democrats will retain control of everything because our Veep will be so happy and joyful. And it'll spread. It'll be contagious in America. Let's get to the fastest 15 here. We've got so much stuff to get to. Joe Kennedy, a friend of our radio show. As you know, I disagreed with his challenge when he wanted to pray on the sidelines of Bremerton High School football games. The Supreme Court, a few weeks ago, Joe came on our show to talk about prevailing. And so, once again, my perspective on the world loses. But I believe that government employees who oversee other people's children should keep their prayer to themselves and not put it in. As I said, I would not want a Muslim coach praying with my girls. I could understand if somebody wouldn't want a Christian coach praying with their kids. Now we are getting more details finally on how this might play out, because there are a lot of people in the liberal media who are saying, but why isn't he back on the sidelines? And there was a lie that was being spread that he had not applied to get his job back. So we called him and said, is that true? And he said, no, we're negotiating it right now. Well, what we now know is that he must be reinstated to his previous position as assistant football coach at Bremerton High School by March 15th. Now, I think this is very awkward. And I told Joe this too, Coach Kennedy, that the head coach at Bremerton is different from when he coached there. A head coach should be able to pick his or her own staff. And to have a court say, oh, and you must have this person. I think Joe Kennedy's a fine man. I think he's a really good coach, and I know the kids really like him. So I'm sure he's going to be an addition to any team he's a part of. But I still believe that head coaches should not have a court tell them, because you spend a lot of time together, head coaches and all the assistants, spend a lot of time together over many, many months. Also, March 15th, kind of a bogus date because high school football is a fall sport, but they are going to have to reinstate him by March 15th. And they've also said that he will be able to pray on the 50-yard line after games with his students. So we'll reach out to Joe Kennedy. We'll get him back on and see if he wants the job back. And if that's going to be awkward to have to work with a head coach who has him as an assistant foisted upon the head coach. So we'll stay on top of that story for you as well. In the world of football, man, there are all kinds of turmoil. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's miserable as the Green Bay Packers quarterback. Two-time back-to-back MVP, and now they have a losing record. Tom Brady has a losing record down in Tampa. He admitted today that when he took off the night before a game to go to the New York wedding of Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, that was not a good thing to do to the team. Plus, his marriage is breaking up. And then you have Russell Wilson over in Denver, who the fans not only have not warmed to him, there is outright contempt for Russell Wilson. He and the Broncos have a losing record. He's playing horrible. The Seahawks may have pulled off one of the greatest fleecings in trade history with all the draft picks they got for Russell Wilson. And so Russell Wilson just landed in Europe because the Broncos have a game on the continent this weekend, and there are reports, he didn't play last week because of a hamstring injury. There are reports that while the team was flying 8 hours to England, that Russell, all the teammates are trying to sleep, and Russell Wilson's in the aisle doing like high-stepping knee lifts, and the other teammates were annoyed by him. And it's sound bites like this one that just exemplify why Russell Wilson has a hard time connecting with people.
I don't really get jet lagged too often. You know, I don't really, I've traveled enough to get, you know, kind of get my system down. But yeah, for me, I was on the plane the first 2 hours. I was, eight-hour flight here? That's the first 2 hours I was watching the film, watching all the cut-ups and everything else. And then for the next 4 hours, I was doing treatment on the plane. I was walking up and down the aisles. Everybody was knocked out. I was doing high knees and working on my legs and everything else, you know, make sure I'm ready to rock. So that was good. And then the last hour of that, I fell asleep for 1 hour, and then I watched the film the rest. So I felt good to go once we got back. And then
it's just nothing is real with you. And a lot of people were commenting on this thing. I watched tape for 2 hours, then I did high knee lifts in the aisle for 4 hours, and then I napped, and then I studied tape some more. And it's like, okay, we get it. You work hard, we understand. But you got to start winning before you talk about all the things that set you apart as a competitor. And in Seattle, he could pull it off because he won. In Denver, he is not coming close. Speaking of being on airplanes, Joe Biden is very upset that some airlines are now charging extra for more legroom.
Some airlines, if you want 6 more inches between you and the seat in front, you pay more money. but you don't know it until you purchase your ticket. Look, folks, these are junk fees. They're unfair, and they hit marginalized Americans the hardest, especially low-income folks and people of color. They benefit big corporations, not consumers.
What? So this is going after people of color? Ooh, Corn Pop! Corn Pop's not going to be able to get extra leg room, apparently. But Joe, I would think that Joe would like the extra leg room because then all the kids on the plane, he could pull up his pant leg and they could rub his leg hair up and down just like they did when he was a chain-toting lifeguard fighting off Corn Pop. I would think that Joe Biden, once he starts flying commercial again, which could be any day now if they invoke the 25th Amendment, but I would think he'd like the extra leg room. But he feels bad for Corn Pop because Corn Pop is a person of color. He says cannot afford extra leg room. What? Nicole, you're going to be on, I don't know if I'm supposed to talk, but you're going to be on an airplane in just a couple hours here, aren't you?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You fly more than the average person. Is there anything wrong with them charging extra for, you know, when I flew back from somewhere a couple of weeks ago, and I paid $59 so that I could get a coach seat with a few more inches of legroom. It just, why wouldn't they do that? That's a dumb criticism.
Well, I do think that the planes are getting smaller, so I do have noticed the lack of legroom. However, yes. I think that that's what makes it affordable for some people. And then, you know, if they charge some people more, then you'll get the people that need to get a deal and, you know, just get up and walk around every once in a while.
Air travel, you make a great point. Air travel is still amazingly affordable. I mean, prices have not gone up dramatically. They have a little bit because of gas prices. But they haven't gone up dramatically in the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years. You can still find flights for $99 or $199 or $299 to, you know, Southern Cal or
some of the
Phoenix.
Places I've gone, it's been cheaper for me to fly for a weekend. I mean, San Francisco, I went there for $180 round trip. I mean,
yeah,
I'd spend that on gas here if I drove around all weekend.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, I think people have to remember that, yeah, the airlines look for efficiencies and they make good dough, but they keep prices pretty affordable for us. But the fact that everything is about people of color, it's just none of that makes any sense at all. Because anybody can buy those seats. Anybody can choose not to buy those
marginalized
seats.
Americans, the hardest, especially low-income folks and people of color. They benefit big corporations, not consumers.
Why does he always tie low-income folks and people of color together? Remember when we once said that poor kids are just as smart as white kids? He's got... I don't know. Maybe he's carrying around some baggage from the Corn Pop days. That's all I can think. And then he did have an interesting analysis of costs of our upcoming Thanksgiving dinner, I think. I'm going to try to. Whew, let me take a sip of Diet Coke. I need some caffeine. Let me see if I can make it through this here. All right, Joe.
And they want to know, what are we doing? There's a lot going on that we're doing, and it adds up. And what I'm going to be coming back to you with is an example. I don't know if I'm going to do it from a podium or a release, but take an average family who's going to go visit their mother or father for Thanksgiving. What's the charge? Are they going to come home from school? I mean, there's a lot of money. These are billions of dollars. It doesn't add up to billions for the individual, but it adds up to $200, $300, $400 for average families.
Shoot. Dang it to heck. I missed that whole thing. I really hate to ask this. Oh, yes.
What were you going to ask? Did I have a transcript?
If you could transcribe, Joe. Well, I know that the big typewriter industry is trying to get you to do endorsement. What kind of typewriter are you using today?
Today I've got an IBM.
Oh, a Selectric?
Yes, a Selectric.
Oh, nice. I've heard those are very good.
Oh, yes, I'm enjoying it.
I've heard
so
they're the future of typewriting.
Yes. Absolutely. I would agree based on my review from today. It is nice. The future.
Were you able to transcribe the president for me there?
Yes, I have it here.
Oh, thank you. Bless you. Okay, go.
And they want to know, what are we doing? And there's a lot going on that we're doing. And they add, it adds up. Well, and I'm going to be coming back to you, Wizards, as an example. Be coming back to you, Wizards, as an example. I don't know when I'm going to do it, from a podium or release. But take an average family and who's going to go visit their mother or father for Thanksgiving? What's the charge when they're going to come home from school? I mean, there's a lot of money. These are billions of dollars. It doesn't add up to billions for the individual, but it adds up to $200, $300, $400 for average families.
Wow, that really makes this hit home, the issue hit home for all of us, doesn't it?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
I'm just happy I got to type on the IBM. What was it? Selectric?
Selectric.
Yes, it's electric.
The future of typewriting. Right, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next, Brandi Cruz is going to drop by for her weekly visit. Gosh, do I enjoy those. That is next here on the Dory Monson Show.
You've been talking in your sleep and it's been going on for weeks and I've been solving puzzle pieces. High time to come to Jesus. You got skeletons in your closet.
I tell you who's out digging up all of those skeletons. It's our friend Brandi Cruz, who drops by every Thursday afternoon. Hey, Brandi.
Greetings. Hello.
Hello to you. First of all, we mentioned this last week. I want to thank you. Brandi very generously got a table at the Stronger Families auction that benefits first responders and our military and needs that they may have as couples, as parents, for their families. What a great event. What a great cause. And thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, it was fun. And the key reason I invited you actually paid off. Last year at this event, John Curley, as the auctioneer, harassed me quite a bit.
Yes.
During the event. And this year, he just turned to harassing you.
Yes.
So that was the goal, and it was successful.
Well, and I mentioned this a couple of days ago. I'm not going to go off on it again. But watching Curley do an auction, it's unbelievable. He is the best. I go to a lot of auctions. There's nobody even close. Okay, we got so much stuff to talk about here, Brandi. Have you covered the King County prosecutor race at all? Because I believe that is the most important issue on the ballot coming up in a week and a half.
Well, I was just going to say, yes, I have, and I've covered it on the lens of thinking it's the most important race on the ballot coming up on November 8th, so I agree with you.
Have you any luck? I've had Jim Farrell on a few times. We've invited Lisa Mannion several times, and she's declined our invitation every time. Have you had any luck getting her?
No, we have a request out to have her on the Undivided podcast and have not heard back thus far.
What's troubling, you heard who endorsed her a few days ago, right?
Oh, it was John Legend?
Yeah, John Legend. John Legend endorsed Chesa Boudin in San Francisco, who got impeached. He endorsed that guy, Larry Krasner, in Philadelphia, who's getting impeached because a state assembly report said the catastrophic rise in crime is because of his soft on crime policies. And he endorsed the guy in Los Angeles, John Legend did, who's a disaster. So I'm trying to figure out how the people of this region, knowing what's happened in San Francisco, in L.A., in Philadelphia, think that somebody who apparently is cut from the same cloth as all those prosecutors and DAs would somehow make things better here in our region.
Well, I'm interested to hear why she would want his endorsement. Are you talking about George Gascon? He endorsed George Gascon in L.A.?
Yes, he endorsed Gascon. He endorsed Jessa Bowden, who got impeached, and Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, which has had a catastrophic, shocking rise in murder deaths.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. I wouldn't even want his endorsement if I were Lisa Manion, because she has been trying to take a sort of stance as if she's going to set a tone of accountability in the office. And so that just seems like an odd endorsement to even want. And I mean, the Seattle Chamber biannual index of voter kind of thoughts in Seattle, even in Seattle, people are overwhelmingly sick of the crime crisis what's going on with the homelessness situation. And so I just don't understand why she'd want that endorsement.
You broke a really interesting story just a couple of days ago, because one of the many raps against Lisa Manion is that she's never tried a criminal case in her life. Is that true?
It is true. And Jim Farrell, of course, is a veteran prosecutor. And so that's been one of the things that he's been using in his campaign and she's been trying to excuse during her campaign.
Okay, and so tell everybody, in case they haven't seen the story that you broke, about the tremendous controversy that erupted within the prosecutor's office over how Lisa Manion tried to deal with that issue.
Yeah, and so I heard about this from a senior deputy prosecutor who didn't want to be named, but basically on Saturday, Lisa Manion, who's the current chief of staff, for the prosecutor's office, she sent out an internal email to prosecutors apologizing for something she'd said last week at a candidate forum. And so that was what was sent to me, is her apology email. And then I was given some context as to what she was apologizing for. So Lisa Manion was at a candidate forum with Jim Farrell, where the issue came up about her lack of trial experience. And she said, and I'm going to paraphrase, but in so many words, I could step into a courtroom tomorrow. We have people fresh out of law school, prosecutors trying cases. The people aren't electing me to try cases. They're electing me to set the tone of the office. And then she went on to make a comparison. She said, the CEO of Amazon is not putting labels on boxes and driving trucks. So basically saying that, I mean, she, as the prosecutor, wouldn't be involved in the sort of menial day-to-day of the office. And so some of the prosecutors who I've heard from were incredibly offended by that comparison, suggesting that the work they do is unimportant or menial. And I will be honest, story, I kind of struggled with, do I do a story on this? Because initially I'm like, I don't think you have to apologize for every little thing. And I see what she was getting at. But something that a senior deputy prosecutor told me really stuck with me. And that is that these prosecutors are working under immense, impossible caseloads, a lot of pressure. Right. Morale is low. And can you imagine having someone who wants to be your boss saying basically that the work you do, she could do tomorrow, even though she has no experience, and that comparing it to someone slapping a label on a box?
And you see, when I heard it, I kind of viewed it through an entirely different prism, because, you know, I've told you, when I was 16 years old, my life's ambition was I wanted to manage a warehouse. And I thought, so if you are trying to disparage the work the prosecutors do, and you use it by talking about these salt-of-the-earth, hardworking guys who drive trucks throughout our region and work in the warehouses, I thought, well, she's also taken a shot at them by suggesting that their work is what comes to mind when she thinks about just menial labor. And so I get why the prosecutors were upset, thinking that their job is just, you know, out of the box ready. But also, why demean all these great blue-collar workers who are the engine of our economy, too?
Yeah, and that's what the senior deputy prosecutor who reached out wanted to be very careful in their wording, because they offered me a statement as to how they felt. And that was the reason they wanted to be careful, is they said, I don't want to demean these workers like she did.
Yeah.
And so I want to be careful not to describe their work as menial. But it just came off to them as very like, oh, I could do that work tomorrow. It's not hard. And of course, the work that prosecutors do is very, very hard. And again, they're under a great deal of stress with their case backlogs. And so I think a lot of them, and I read some folks were sending me, Lisa Manion sends out this email, right? Apology. Prosecutors in the office responded directly to her email. Like responded reply all, letting her know how much it upset them, letting everyone else in the office know there was a very much an internal pushback over this.
Well, I kind of hope that this seals the deal for Jim Farrell, because we need somebody who's going to put criminals in jail for a change around here, and I don't think she is that person. On the Senate race, 2 weeks ago, Brandy 538, which has an okay record of prognostication. A couple of weeks ago, 538 gave the Republicans a 33% chance of winning the Senate. Yesterday, it was 46%. Today, it is 47%. And that's before we're seeing Pennsylvania polls after that most disastrous debate performance by Fetterman ever. So you've been covering the local race. Do you think Tiffany Smiley has a chance as a political newcomer to beat a 30-year incumbent like Patty Murray?
Well, I'm not going to pretend to know what the result will be. I think there's always a chance. I've been very skeptical since the beginning. I kind of had wished that Tiffany Smiley had waited and challenged Maria Cantwell. I think for Republicans, that might have been a stronger bet. I think that's coming up in 2 years. So I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of skeptical. I think it's a big hill to overcome. The latest polling here has her back by 8 points. I will say I got a chance this week, and it's over on my patreon.com/undivided page. I sat down with not only Tiffany Smiley on Monday, but also she had in Iowa Senator Joni Ernst as a campaign surrogate. And one of the things coming from the position of, okay, at this point, who are you trying to appeal to? You're trying to appeal to moderate voters, independent voters, undecided voters, because the people who are in their camps are in their camps.
Right.
And I questioned Tiffany and with the senator sitting there about whether Senator Joni Ernst, who's vehemently pro-life, has floated national abortion bans, was the right person to bring in the final days of the campaign. Here's a little clip of that.
Are you and your colleagues going to bully her, pressure her into not staying true to her word on that issue?
We have many pro-choice Republican senators, and she's not even saying she's pro-choice. She's pro-life, but she respects the will of the people of Washington. So no, I will not be bullying Tiffany Smiley.
You don't look like a bully, but you know, there are some bullies in the Senate.
So again, you know, coming from that position of, okay, what is really going to move the needle for a truly undecided voter, a swing voter? And I do think abortion is one of those issues. And so I'm not 100% sure it's the best surrogate, although Joni Ernst was, I love the Midwesterner. She was such a nice lady. And then also, I feel the same way Patty Murray have being at that event with Kamala Harris. I'm like, well, I don't know if Kamala Harris
and last week Elizabeth Warren. It's like they're scraping the dregs of the barrel just to try to get somebody out here with Patty Murray. And so I think that Tiffany Smiley's still a pretty strong underdog. But I also know, Brandy, that I think this is going to come down. I said this a couple of days ago. I think this is going to come down to suburban moms. And when you look at what's happening, we just found out today that our schools, fourth and eighth grade school scores in Washington State, have hit an all-time record low. The crime problem, we got that horrible shooting of LaVon Pickett in the Central District, a guy who was just a wonderful builder of community and a husband, father of three little kids. I just wonder if in the next 2 weeks, if those issues are going to push the suburban moms into the possibility of a gigantic upset here.
It is definitely possible. I hate to even predict, because the primary I thought was really going to be a good showing for Republicans. And then I know it was incredibly disappointing for Republicans.
It was.
So, yeah, I think it's going to come down to and look, there could be a wrench that gets thrown in. I mean, look at Roe v. Wade and the impact that had on the race and what would have been a sure thing for a lot of Republicans. So I think a lot of these races are possible. I think Tiffany Smiley's race is possible, but I agree with you that it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I said I thought she had less than a 10% chance a few weeks ago. I think she has a 30, 40% chance, and then we'll see if anything dramatic happens in the next 13, 12 days. All right, Brandy Cruz, you can see her work. And this is an aberration. Last week we announced we were going to do two segments with you. We'll get back to two segments next week.
Yeah, this was my choice, for the record.
Yes. Yes, I did not cut your time. All right, Brandy Cruz, you can see her work at patreon.com/undivided. Great work as always, Brandy. Thank you.
Sure thing.
And I'd love to hear your thoughts on all this. Text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. It is getting crazy in some places in the media because they see their party scrambling. You know, everybody's in the country's been talking about that Pennsylvania debate, Dr. Oz and John Fetterman. John Fetterman, a stroke victim and clearly significantly mentally incapacitated by that stroke. Unless you watch MSNBC, where host Lawrence O'Donnell came away with a slightly different impression of John Fetterman.
But Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill had the good fortune to serve as the highest elected officials in their countries long before television news could cover their every move and long before Twitter could have people pumping out their instant reactions to their public appearances. Franklin Delano Roosevelt believed that it would be painful to watch him being lifted in and out of a car by Secret Service agents, so he never allowed cameras to capture that. Elaborate steps were taken when his train would arrive or depart so that he could be transferred from the car to the train, lifted in and out, without anyone seeing. Painful to watch quickly became an oft-repeated phrase on Twitter last night during the Pennsylvania Senate campaign debate because Democratic candidate John Fetterman suffered a stroke this spring and has not fully recovered 100% of his verbal fluency.
Wow. So John Fetterman is FDR and Winston Churchill. According to Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC, of course, FDR and Winston Churchill could still speak, and their cognitive ability wasn't severely impacted. That's just a stupid analogy.
Well, today President Trump visited Texas, but he forgot to bring any empathy with him. But he did bring a hat that is for sale.
58 seconds.
What's going on? Why am I losing this? Why don't I have sound? All right, it's back. Someone's pressing buttons and turning my sound off. Who's asking for a Labor Day rundown in my ear? Someone in that control room is out of control.
20 seconds.
Get. And into that tragedy today.
I wish I could play the whole thing. That's the stop the hammering! Stop the hammering! From Lawrence O'Donnell. Yeah, he's another FDR and Winston Churchill. Right. Okay, quick time out here, and then top of the hour, I've got a big decision to make because we have to decide if we're going to announce and tease ahead to tomorrow's show and the very special guest who's going to join us tomorrow. I'm going to consult with Nicole on air so you can be part of the process. And we'll decide if we're going to announce that right after the news here as the Dory Monson Show rolls off.